You are listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Wherever you are at this point in life, we hope and pray that God will use the following message as a source of help and encouragement as you listen.
And as I mentioned last week, one of the things that we introduced, which is a very big thing for this church, is that God has now started to open the door a little bit for us to begin to step into world missions. We don't know where that's going to lead yet. We really can't see the picture at all. But we know without a doubt that God has said, I want this church to go. I want you to be involved. And at the end of our time last Sunday, I shared with you three words that God has put on my heart that are going to be the focus, the foundation for everything that we do as a church in missions. But I also want you to know that we don't need to limit these three words just to missions. The three words are pray, give, and go, in that order. And we're going to be talking about these three words over the next three Sundays: pray, give, and go. And as we talk about them the next three Sundays, we are going to be talking about it with a missions emphasis. But please hear me, church. Don't put these three words in a box and label them missions only, because these three words fundamentally affect everything you and I do as believers in Jesus Christ, as His followers. And I was kidding around with one of our guys recently and talking about how I'm going to be teaching on these three words. And I said, you know what? I must be out of my mind, because I can't think of three scarier words for people in the church than these three words. Pray. Most people I talk to are terrified of praying in front of anybody else. And I want to help you guys with that. I want us to grow in Christ, not to always live on the milk. You know, we need to grow in Christ, and I think God wants to do a work in us here in this area of prayer. But the word pray, I mean, that's a scary word to a lot of people. And then you jump about 10 notches on the scary meter and you talk about give, okay? I mean, already some of you are sitting here thinking about what illness you're going to have next Sunday, so that you can just go, you know, I wasn't feeling real good and I had to miss that thing on giving. Hey, don't do that, okay? It'd break my heart if I came here next week and half you guys were gone. Giving is so much more than money. It involves so much more than finances. It's about the core of our heart. Are we giving people? We're going to talk about that next week. And we're not going to take up a major, you know, a big collection. We're not going to ask you for money. So just relax, okay? Honestly, just relax and come. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about another scary word, which is the word go. I mean, it's a scary word for us. God constantly came to people in the Bible and said, hey, pack up your stuff. I want you to go somewhere. That's what God's all about. Whether it's across the street or whether it's around the world, God is a God who wants to unsettle us. And He wants us to go and do His work for Him. And I was joking that probably the only scarier thing I could add to that was if I asked you all to become martyrs for Jesus. I mean, that's the only other thing I could think of that would be scarier than those three words. But we're going to tackle those words head on today, next week, and the week after that. And I hope you'll make plans to try to be here for all three, so that you can kind of get the whole package deal there. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. If you have your Bibles, turn there. Around the middle of your New Testament, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. Today, as I said, we're going to talk about the pray part of pray, give, go. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul is writing to the Christians at Colossae, and he shares this challenge, this encouragement with them that I want to share with you today. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. And he goes on to say, for which I am in chains. It's that phrase in the middle there, pray that God would open a door for our message, that I want you to be thinking about this morning. The Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, God said, call to me, and I might answer you if I have the time. No. He said, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not understand. That's one of those verses, for me anyway, that I have to go back and deliberately peel the skin of familiarity off of that verse and try to crawl into it all over again, because I've heard it so many times that I'm like, yeah, I know, God said he'd do great and mighty things. Do we really, really want to see God do great and mighty things in our life and in this church? Or are we content to be mediocre Christians? Just kind of going through the Christian experience, living day to day, not really seeing God do anything out of the ordinary at all. I'm telling you, that's not what I want. And I hope it's not what you want. God said, call to me, pray to me, and I will hear you, I will answer you, and beyond that, I will show you things that will blow your mind. I wonder if we really understand the power of prayer. I wonder if we do. Someone once said this, prayer has divided seas, rolled up flowing rivers, quenched flames of fire, muzzled lions, conquered the strongest devils, held back vast armies, and burst open locked doors for the gospel to go through. I believe if you and I could ever really catch a glimpse of the power of prayer, it would revolutionize our lives and it would revolutionize the church. Jesus believed in the power of prayer. This is such an amazing thing to me, that the perfect Son of God, the sinless Son of God, spent so much of his time in prayer to his Father. We find him at the beginning of his ministry spending 40 days in prayer and fasting before he launched out into that ministry. We find him the night before he chose his 12 apostles. The Bible said that he spent all night long in prayer before he made that decision the next day. We find him retreating off into the wilderness or up onto a mountain again and again throughout the Gospels, getting away by himself in order to pray for the work that God had called him to. D.L. Moody said, behind every work of God, you will always find some kneeling form. And as we, church, take this step towards missions, I want to tell you, the first place we must begin is with prayer. We dare not rush into this thing or any other thing as a church unless we have spent time in prayer, seeking God's plan, seeking God's presence, seeking God's power and his purpose. It's vital that we not just rush into this. I love what Moses said in Exodus 33:15. God was sending him on an assignment. And these words are just so awesome. Moses said, God, if your presence does not go with us, then please do not send us up from here. He said, what else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And Moses got it. He said, God, I know you're calling me and you're sending me somewhere, but listen, if your presence is not in this, if your presence is not going to go with me, then please don't send me out from here, because I can't do this without you. He had a remarkable understanding of the utter dependence that he needed upon God. I wonder if we know that the pathway to power is prayer. Are you guys awake this morning? Are you okay? All right. Sometimes I'm not sure. I just want to stop and check. I wonder if this is so hard to teach on this, because prayer in the church has just become this, I don't know what it's become. I wonder if we really understand that the pathway to power in this life is prayer. Prayer will unleash power in the church that our plans and our programs never could in a million years. God didn't birth the church through a sermon. He birthed it through prayer. God didn't birth the church through a clever program. He birthed it through prayer. You see in the early book of Acts how those believers in that time spent 10 days waiting and praying on God, waiting for Him, calling to Him. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit came and the church was born. God moved in mighty power. It's no accident that in Acts chapter 4, when the apostles were arrested and imprisoned and threatened, the church didn't call for some political action. The church didn't go out and picket. You know what the church did? What did they do? Tell me, they? Are you sure? They prayed. And it's no mistake that during that prayer time when the church said, no other option will do for us, prayer is the thing we must be about, that when they were praying, the Bible says that the place that they were gathered in was shaken. The power of the Holy Spirit came, and then it says they were enabled to speak the word with boldness. The early church knew that the pathway to power was not through some political party. It was not through clever church gimmicks. Heaven help us. It was through the power of prayer. And I don't know about you guys, but it should concern us greatly that the modern church offers every convenience known to mankind in order to get people in and keep them happy. The modern church offers every type of program, and there's nothing wrong with programs as long as God's asked you to start them. But it ought to bother us greatly that the modern church has all these things and yet prayer has been shoved to the bottom of the agenda. It ought to bother us greatly. I hope I'm not the only one who looks at that and sees red flags all over it and says, wait a second. What are we missing? We've got the cart before the horse. It's interesting that you hear people say all kinds of things about churches, and one time in my entire life, one time, have I heard somebody describe their church as a place of powerful prayer. One time. It's a problem. Why don't we pray? So there's a lot of reasons for that, and I don't have time to unpack all of those. You know, sometimes, as I said, we don't pray because I hear people say, I don't know what to say to God. Listen, Romans 8:26, you ought to read it sometime. It says that even when we don't know what, it's not just even when we don't, it actually says we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But it says that the Holy Spirit helps us, and He takes our prayers messed up as they are, and He turns them into something beautiful before God. There's a story I heard one time, a pastor saying that he led a young man to Christ who had never had any contact with the church his whole life. I mean, this guy was just as lost as could be. And he led him to Christ, and then he invited him to prayer meeting the next Wednesday. And in the little prayer circle as they sat there, all these people were praying, and then this guy stood up, and he said this, "Hi, God, this is Mel. I don't know if you remember me, but I'm the one who gave my heart to you last Thursday. And I just wanted to say, Well, thanks. And he sat down. This pastor said, nobody could pray after that. We don't have to come to God with fancy words. Why is it that we think if we don't speak in Elizabethan English that God won't hear us? What's the deal with hearing someone say, hey, Phil, what's going on, man? How's it going? And then they pray and they say, Our Father. And you kind of look up and go, did somebody else come in the room? Guys, prayer is not a complicated thing. It's just talking to God. It's just talking to Him. Prayer is also hard work. It's another reason why I think perhaps we don't pray as we should. We sometimes pray to God and we open our eyes and look up and the answer isn't there yet. And so we start to go, well, gosh, I mean, does this really work? Jesus told His disciples in Luke 18:1 that they should always pray and not give up, not lose heart, not faint, the King James says. But we want quick fixes so often. I shared with you one time of how my dad prayed for a lost friend of his named Bill Clemens for 40 years. And Bill finally came to Christ. Dad said, I'm not giving up. I love him. I don't want him in hell. And he prayed for him and shared the gospel with him faithfully for 40 years. And Bill got saved. What have you given up on in prayer? Anything? Is there anything in your life that you just said, well, forget it. There's no point. Don't give up. Prayer is hard work. There's no quick fix sometimes in prayer. One author said this. Listen to this. This is filled with sarcasm, but it's so true. Why spend 2 or 3 days alone in prayer and fasting before the Lord, seeking His will and His ways, when you can borrow a vision from a book that God gave someone else after they fasted and prayed? The modern culture calls for McVision, like McDonald's fast food. The modern culture calls for McVision. Find it quick, make it slick, and implement it before the ink on the last vision poster is barely dry. Hey guys, I'm telling you, that's true in a lot of cases. How tempting is it just to try to rush into things and say, well, that worked for them, let's just borrow that and rubber stamp it onto our church and we can get going. And we miss the work of prayer. Do we realize, folks, that one of the reasons that prayer is so hard is because it is work to pray? Paul wrote to the same church that we read about just a moment ago, just a few verses after where we were in verse 12, and he said, Epaphras, by the way, how many of you know anything about Epaphras? Epaphras didn't pastor a 10,000-member church. He didn't get his name on any books in the Bible. Epaphras? What? Who's that guy? Paul wrote and said, Epaphras is always wrestling in prayer for you, so that you may stand firm in all the will of God. Man, I love that verse. I don't know who that guy was, but I can't wait to meet him. This guy was a prayer warrior behind the scenes, working through prayer, being faithful in prayer over the long run, and wrestling in prayer for people. What lengths are you and I willing to go to in order to see God move through our prayers? I want to just end with this thought and let you know that the greatest prayers will come from our greatest compassion. You know, we can try to force prayer to be a thing in any church, but unless our prayer life flows out of a deep compassion for someone or something, it's just going to be a mechanical, cold, dead process, and it's going to make God sick. He said to a group of people one time, why don't you just stop lighting useless fires on my altar? I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of it. I want your heart, he said. I want you to really be in love with me, to be passionate about something. And our greatest prayers, church, are going to come from our greatest compassion. Nothing will give us passion for prayer like a broken heart for something. telling you, it'll change your prayer life. I love to read through the Gospels and see the life of Christ and see how many times it says again and again and again that Jesus had compassion on people. I mean, you see it again and again. I went through it this week and marked all the verses again, and I just didn't have time to list them all for you today. But everywhere you turn, you see Jesus coming up to a blind man or to a group of people, and his heart just breaks for them. One of my favorites is Matthew 9:36 that says, when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I shared with you one time before, a long time ago, that word in the Greek there, when it says he was moved with compassion, it literally means that his bowels were aching. That's how deeply he felt that. That's literally what that Greek word means. You ever had a stomach virus or something and you just doubled over in pain and it's just agonizing pain in your gut? That's the picture that the Bible is painting of our Lord when he walked over the hill and he saw these crowds. It's like he was just doubled over in pain. He was hurt so deeply when he saw them. They were helpless and harassed like lost sheep. And it moved him so much that he felt it in his gut. He was aching. He was hurting for them. What are our hearts broken over, church? Anything? I'm asking myself the same question as I ask you. What? What are we broken for? So much so that it's like a punch in the stomach. We double over in pain. Anything? John Knox, the great Scottish minister from many, many years ago, was often overheard in his private prayer room crying out to God with these words, "Lord, give me Scotland or I die." Are we that broken over anything? Anything at all? That we would say, "Lord, give me those people who don't know you or I'm going to die. I've got to share with them, God. Give me that little orphan who doesn't know you, who needs to know you, or I'm going to die. God, give me that neighbor up the street who's lost without you. God, give me that family member, or I'm going to die. God, break my heart for someone." I'll tell you, if this mission program is going to truly have the impact that it needs to have, we're going to have to get our hearts broken first. And then you want to talk about prayer flowing out to the throne of God from a broken heart that's not just, you know, "Lord, bless Aunt Betty and bless Uncle Joe and bless the mission trip." I mean prayer that just cries out to God and wrestles with him like Jacob did and will not let go until we hear from God. That's what we need. That's where this has to begin. Maybe you say, "Well, Phil, I've got a burden for something, but man, it's just like so off the charts, big and impossible that I'm not really sure if I should even keep praying for it or not." Hey, does anybody remember the verse for 2008 for this church? What are the three key words? He is able. He's able. He's able to do immeasurably more than everything you could ask or think. He's able. My purpose in this message today has not been to give you a fancy sermon about prayer. It has certainly not been to give you a clever little formula for prayer. You know, I think the older I get, the less I appreciate all those little acronyms that people have come up with to try to help us pray. I mean, I guess there's nothing wrong with them. The most popular one is the ACTS thing, right? A-C-T-S. We've all heard that. You know, if that helps you pray, then by all means use it. But, you know, when I was younger, I used to hear that, and I'd be talking to the Lord, and then I'd stop and I'd go, oh, wait a second, I forgot to start with the adoration part. I'm sorry, Lord. So, I go back, and I say, okay, now what am I supposed to do again? Which part? And God's going, no, come on, just talk to me. That's all I want. Just talk to me. You don't have to go through some kind of rosary. You don't have to go through any outline to pray to me. Just pray to me. My purpose today has not been really to try to preach a message about prayer or how to pray. My purpose today is to call us to pray, to give us a burden to pray, at least a tiny taste of a burden to pray in the time that we have. And as I said a moment ago, sadly, you know, churches are known for a lot of things, right or wrong. It's not a problem, I guess, but it sort of is at the core of it. I hear people say, man, that church has the best music. You would love it. You should come. Nothing wrong with that. That church has the best preaching. You should come. I know you guys say that all the time to your friends, right, about LifePoint. Couldn't resist. That was too easy. You know, people say, man, that church, they have the most exciting programs. It's just great. God never said he wanted his church to be a church of preaching. God, it's important. We've got to equip people. We've got to preach the word. God never said he wanted his church to be a church of music. Music's important. I love it. Absolutely important. God never said he wanted his church to be a church of programs. You know what he did say? He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Now, we know this building is not God's house. We are. Are we a house of prayer? What is this church known for? I've stopped a few minutes early today. Can you believe that? Is that crazy? It's 10 till, and I'm done. By the way, I appreciate you guys hanging with me during that 7-week series we did on Why Should I Believe? Because I know there were a lot of long messages during those 7 weeks. There's a lot of stuff to try to cover, and I appreciate you hanging with me on some of those long days. But today, I want to finish early for a reason. Because as I was talking to some folks about this message, I said, you know, wouldn't it just be the greatest tragedy in the world for me to get up here and talk to you about the importance of prayer and then sing a few songs and say, well, have a good day, see you later, and not pray? I mean, that would be like the ultimate irony, wouldn't it? Prayer's important, church. We need to be in prayer. Y'all have a good day. See ya. So we're not going to do that today. What I want us to do this morning is I want us to take some time to pray. I want to ask our elders to come to the front, if they would, please, and just come and stand here with me. Do that right now, guys. You know, you guys don't see these men much because they prefer to stay behind the scenes, but I think it's very fitting for us to take some time together to pray. Richard, you want to grab that mic for us? And just, you know, we did this for the men's ministry. We just kind of commissioned it on that first day with these guys. And I think it's fitting for us to do this as a leadership team, to ask these guys to just pray a brief prayer and just ask God's hand on this. Moose, you begin for us, brother.
Father, I pray this for us. Without the power of prayer, as we've been given in your word, Father, there's no power except through Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you've given the word to us that we can be confident in prayer. And you said you were the power, and you said go. And Father, you are, and you've taught me. And pray that we would get the depth of it to what you have taught me, that you would teach all of us how to seek, to steep, to saturate, to soak, to immerse ourselves in your kingdom, and to reproduce what you've given us to another. So I pray that our prayer will be, show us where you'd have us to go and people you'd have us to see to reproduce what you've given us into others. In Jesus' name.
Father God, I remember not long ago you asked us to, a small group of men, start a church. And Lord, we thought, why, how can we do this? But Lord, you showed us the way. We need a place to have a church, Lord, to meet. You provided that place for us. And then we need to expand. We need to hire staff. Lord, each time that we've heard your call and we prayed, you have answered our prayers. And Lord, here we are again. You've asked us to go on a mission. We don't know where. We don't know how. We don't even know when. But Lord, you do. So Lord, we're coming to you again in prayer. And Lord, for me, it's just so awesome to know. We don't have the finances for this. We don't have the transportation. And again, we don't know where. But you do. And you've asked us this morning to come to you and pray. We pray, Lord, for your glory, not ours. We're a small body of believers that want to reach out beyond these four walls to give you the glory. So our prayer this morning is, Lord, that we glorify you. And Lord, for everyone here to know how important it is for each one of us to come together and pray. Not just today, not tomorrow, but for weeks and weeks and months and years, Lord. And Lord, I pray for wherever you have us going, that you'll start touching those hearts. You start opening those doors. You start guiding us where we need to go. And Lord, we praise you and we honor you and we glorify you. And that's all we're here to do, Lord, to glorify you. And Lord, I just cannot wait to see your work again. Amen.
God, how awesome it is this morning to hear the reminder that each one of us needs to hear that we need to become houses of prayer. And I pray, Father, first of all this morning, that that's exactly what would happen in this place. Because, God, we know that your power will not be unleashed without prayer. And, God, we know that this thing will not happen without your power. So we pray this morning, Father, that each one of us in this room who's heard this message would commit ourselves to praying for this mission. And Father, as a result of that, we would commit ourselves to a deeper and more intimate prayer life with you altogether. God, this mission trip is way over our heads. We have no idea how it's going to come about. And frankly, God, I don't care where you send us as long as you're there. And I don't care how we get there, Father, as long as you go with us. And I don't care who goes as long as you pick the ones who go. But God, this is so far over our heads and we have no resources and we have no way to do this other than through you. And I pray, Father, that that's the way it will always be. That we would never rely on our own means. We will never rely on our own plans or our own resources. But that we would do this entire mission desperate for you and clinging to you. God, we're not looking for something to do. We're only looking to serve you. So God, we ask that you take complete charge of this, that you work in each of our hearts and lives as you need to do to bring about this trip. And God, we will give you all the praise and the honor and glory, because I know that when other people hear the life-changing message of Jesus Christ, that things will happen for your kingdom and that you will be honored and you will be glorified. God, your word says that a man's heart has many plans, but it is your purpose that will prevail. And we pray, Father, that you would keep our plans out of the way, and that you would make your purpose prevail in this trip. God, we're not worried about the results. We leave that to you. We only concern ourselves with doing exactly what you've called us to do. This is your idea. This is your plan. This is your trip. And we surrender our hearts and our lives to you this morning and commit ourselves to only doing what you've called us to do. God, thank you for the opportunity to serve you and for the opportunity to be a part of this fellowship that seeks you and desires you above all else. Because God, you and you alone are worthy. And you alone are worthy of doing this, Father. So, Father, we just ask for your hand to be upon this from top to bottom. And we ask you to take us out of the way. But we ask, Father, not only for the people who are going to receive this trip, but for those who stay behind, that we would receive a blessing from this trip as well. And Father, not all of us can give, not all of us can go, but we can all pray. And I pray that we would commit to doing that today.
Dear Father, who is holy and awesome and beyond our understanding and our comprehension, we thank you that you have us right where you want us, Father. That you have us in a position where if anything happens of significance, Father, it'll be because of you. And it'll show your power. As the song says that I've been listening to this week, that says, I am small, but you are big, and I am weak, but you are strong. So, Father, show your strength through this small and weak fellowship, Father. For we trust in you because you are awesome. And you are a great and holy God. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you're giving us. And we pray, Father, that each and every one here will have a fire lighted in their lives, Father, in such a way and started it in such a mighty way that it would move them to honor you. And to glorify you. Father, we know that as your word says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, that you will lead us wherever you would have us to go in triumphal procession. And that wherever you lead us, Father, we will be the aroma of Christ. We will be the fragrance that those people need to hear and smell. Father, we just pray that we would be your fragrance, your aroma, wherever you would lead us, Father, and that we would glorify your name. Touch our lives, Father, as only you can. Make us what you would have us to be. Prepare our hearts to do exactly what you would have us to do, and to be exactly what you would have us to be. You have created us to be new in you, Father. You have given us a new heart. We're someone we've never been before, and we thank you and praise you for that, because only you could do that. So, Father, we trust you now. And we give all of this to you. And we glorify your name in Jesus' name.
Father, thank you for this time together in prayer. And what a great thing it is for us to pause as a church and come before you and just petition your throne on behalf of what you've called us to do, Lord, knowing that we do not have the means, we do not have the intelligence to do this and to do it right, but you do. And Lord, we're beginning to see why you called us to that verse you did for this year, at the very beginning of this year, that you are able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine for your glory. And Lord, I mentioned that Sunday that before this year was out, God was probably going to give us a challenge that was way bigger than us, and we would have an opportunity to let him prove that he is able. And missions was not even on the radar at the time. And yet here, Lord, you've brought this opportunity before us, and you've asked us to be faithful even without knowing the details and to begin to prepare. And we're doing that. And we know that this is going to be a great chance for you to show all of us that you are able to do more than we could ask or think. And so, Lord, we're excited about this. And I pray, I know last week you stirred some hearts for this, and people are just filled with anticipation. I pray you continue to do that among this church family. Lord, stir our hearts. May we not become happy to be complacent as a Christian. I pray that we'd always be stretched beyond our limits for you. I pray that we'd always take risks for you to make your name known. God, thank you for allowing us to be a part of this, of what you're doing. We love you, and we look forward with great excitement to the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a broadcast from LifePoint Community Church in Greenville, South Carolina. More teaching resources are available from our website at lifepointcc.org. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you today, we would love to hear from you. You can contact us directly from our website, or you can write to us at P.O. Box 27036, Greenville, South Carolina, 29616, USA. Thanks again for listening. May God bless you.